Now, let's take chapter 10 and 11 in Revelation tonight and just kind of visit a little bit and talk, because like I said, we've been talking about 3 solid hours. Han was up last night a little trying to talk to the Lord. So let's just kind of visit with each other a little and talk and see if we can come up with a few answers. That's what's important. They have a little thing out in the world. They've had it for years. They meet somebody, they say, have you got the answer? So somebody come up with a little saying, and they wrote it, Christ is the answer. As a matter of fact, we wrote a song about it, Christ is the answer. That is true. Christ is the answer. If you can just get to know him, he's the answer. Surely somewhere in the world there must be an answer. And I don't know where to look for it other than in the Bible. That's the only place I know to look for it. So let's read in Revelation 10. I get up here, and when I start to talk to you, there is so many multiplied things that I would like to say to you that I just don't hardly know where to start. Chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. There was given me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The 2nd woe is past, and behold, the 3rd woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and reign. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child crying, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for devour her child as soon as he was born. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And the child was caught up unto the God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place any found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not the lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as like a feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I saw one of his heads that was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Following, the Bible says, on Mount Zion, Jesus stands there with the 144,000. The Bible speaks of these two witnesses. If you'll notice, God says he will give power to them. He will give them power. If you notice in chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. The night likewise, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpion, and there was sting in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. One voice passed, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the six angels which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were loose, which prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were the head of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone. which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails was like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Then the Bible says here in Revelation 10, the mighty angel come down from heaven. You know, in the teachings of these scriptures, there is much to be taught. Whereas Solomon said, much study of the flesh causes weariness. For if you study much, you get weary in the flesh. If you come together and listen much, you get weary in the flesh. Especially in that Satan is the prince of this world, and he'll make it hot, uncomfortable, and he'll do anything to cause you to want to go to his places of frolic, where he makes it so delightful and convenient. You ever notice that his places of frolic, it's always so delightful and so convenient? But just as sure as you go to do something for God, always the devil makes it so uncomfortable, because he is the prince of the powers of the air. And he'll do anything to make it uncomfortable for you. But nevertheless, in spite of all of that, people go on serving God. They go on studying the Word of God. Though they may have pain, they may have misery, they may have oppression, many things may happen to them. They may go through poverty. They may do many things, find many inconveniences, but they are determined to have eternal life. And they are determined, as Paul said, that though this outward man perish, yet this inward man, I'm going to renew him day by day. Though this outward man may die, he may perish. He may grow weary. He may grow tired. He may get all kind of problems. But this inner man will be renewed in strength and power day by day in the knowledge of Almighty God. For we are determined, he said, to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. All that I know concerning the world for frolics and for worldly benefits, I count all of my knowledge and learning as dung. I'm determined not to use any of it to my benefit. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a Christian. I am going to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. And this will be my conversation. And this will be my ambition. And this will be my prayer in the morning and my prayer at night. And this will be my concern around the clock. I am determined to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. So then, to know Christ and him crucified means that you will submit your body to suffering. The Bible says to equip yourselves with the mind to suffer. Therefore, you will equip yourselves with a mind to submit, a mind to suffer, a mind of self-denial, and you will thus become a great and a mighty person in God. For the more that the flesh is denied, the more it's crucified, the more that it's rejected, the more that it's put aside, the more favor you will find in the sight of the Holy Spirit, and the more that great, wonderful Spirit will fill your being until your cup, as David said, will run over. And then others around you will begin to receive the blessings and benefit of your labor. The Bible said, so let your light shine that other men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth, that ye be not blown about by every wind of doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart be established, and that in the present day truth. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, giving you ears to hear and eyes to see, that you might understand. Pray as Solomon of old, that you might have an understanding heart. Always seeking God, always asking God to help you. Because, folks, the end of the world is here. The end of all things is at hand, the writer said. Be sober. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober, he said. Any time now, any moment now, anything can happen. Someone would say, but I've heard that many times, Brother Pike. But where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue the same as when the fathers fell asleep. The Bible said they'll say this in the latter times, being ignorant of this one thing, that God is a patient, merciful, long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. Or that is, they're ignorant of this one thing, that a day is as a thousand years with God, and a thousand years as a day. They don't know what moment he will come. They don't understand. They cannot mark time according to God's calendar. Therefore, all we can do is watch and pray and be ready. For in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus reproved him one time by saying, "Ye hypocrites." He said, "I see that you can discern the face of the sky. I see that you can tell me when it's going to be cold or hot. Tell me when it's going to rain." He said, "But you are a hypocrite." He said, "Because I do not see that you can discern the signs of the time. And yet the signs of the time are all around you. You should be able to discern them." "Oh, thou hypocrite," Jesus said. So then when we look around, we see scientists at an all-time high. They can tell you all about the weather. They can tell you all about many things. But ask them about God. Ask them about the signs of the time. Ask them when Jesus is coming. And they cannot tell you anything. Why? Because they are religious, parasites, hypocrites. Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes, though they were religious bodies, just like the denominational powers of today, he said, "Pharisees, scribes, you hypocrites." He told them, he said, "You say all of these things concerning the Bible, all of these things concerning the Word of God," he said, "but you don't keep any of it." So then the child is known by his doings. What we've got to do is rise up, be about our Father's business, perfect holiness unto God, having the fruits of holiness in our life, bringing forth much fruit, because the Bible said God desires that we should bring forth much fruit. Bringing forth much fruit, that we might have our fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof, everlasting life. I read about these great mysteries of God. A lot of times we talk about these great mysteries of God. Sometimes I don't talk about them. To some people, I don't talk about them because they are not hungry. They are not thirsty. Therefore, they cannot be filled with the things of God. And some are babes in Christ. They don't know how to hunger after the things of God. But I remind you again that as the tribulation period comes, the Bible said, "Woe unto them that give suck in those days." Though the Bible tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby, yet it also tells us, "Woe unto them that are babies at the time of that awful thing when Antichrist begins to come into view." It's a bad situation to be a little baby when mother and daddy is not around, and when the terrors of darkness find you having drifted off from home, or find you in a place to where you can't locate mother and you can't locate dad, and you're all alone by yourself, and you're out there in a dark place and you can't find your way back and you can't understand. Then terror strikes your heart, and then you begin to go all to pieces. You know, therefore, you need to grow strong in God. You need to get the meat of the word. You need to exercise your senses a little bit more and come into the strong things that God has for you. But as long as you spend your time eating and drinking and riding and talking and visiting and vacationing and going from store to store, getting gain, buying and selling, whatever, you will never grow in the things of God, because your interest is in the things of this world. And the Bible calls it the beggarly elements of the world that will perish with the world. Jesus, one time preaching, he said, "Tell me something." When he talked to the Pharisees and scribes that were so religious, he said, "You answer me a question." He said, "Is not your life that you've got on the inside of you worth more than the food you put in your belly?" Isn't your life worth more than that food that you use it up to obtain? He said, isn't this body that I've given you worth more than the raiment that you put on it? Don't you think more of this body in the sense that you should be trying to do something to eternally preserve it? Don't you think more of it than you do some frivolous garment that you get, Jesus said, running up and down the street and in and out the stores? Isn't your body worth more than the raiment and your life more than meat? Sometimes we don't differentiate too good. And sometimes we don't understand too good. Though Jesus tried his best to explain, he tried his best to tell the people, but they couldn't seem to understand. Their hearts were hardened. They could not hear. They were dull of hearing. They heard a sound. They heard words, but it didn't add up. It didn't make sense. It didn't come together. Like a man come down here to Bethlehem, he told somebody, said, it just ain't black or white. Said, everything is gray. Why was it? Because he was confused in his mind. He was trying to take the things of God and make it fit his wretched convictions. And in doing so, it caused nothing but death to be out there before him. He could not distinguish between the light and between the darkness, between that which is black and that which is white. But he had it all intermingled in a mixed up way in his mind. It was just a mess when he saw it. That's the way a lot of people are. When they see something, they can't tell what it is because they're so mixed up. They can't tell. There's women, they can't tell who they're going to marry or who they love or who would make them a husband. They done got their lives so mixed up and messed up till they don't know. The same way with men. They have mixed their lives up and made such a mess of it, they don't know when the true companion comes along, the one that they should have for their life, because they've got it into such a mess. Folks, it's the same way in the church. People of the church of today, they don't know what preaches right and what preaches wrong. They've got their lives so mixed up and so messed up and listened to so many things and have not compared notes with God until they are in such a mess till they don't know who's right anymore. Woe unto them that give suck in that day. It's going to be a good thing that the heart be established at the coming of that situation. Already we've entered into the hour of temptation, and already the darkness is moving in to cover the world, and intellectual darkness is taking the place of the Word of God. And they're changing the Word of God into a lie. And they're writing new Bibles. And they're trying to change the King James Version that God has preserved through the years. And now they've got their hippie version. And I talk to so many multiplied people that make such a fuss over that hippie version. They make such a fuss. You get a Bible. You look through the Bible and it's just literally filled with filth. It's got one nude picture right after another. And you say something to somebody about, hey, that don't need to be in there. They'll say, my, you wouldn't tear nothing out of the Bible, would you? That's just how ignorant they are. If you had a rattlesnake in your bedroom, would you get it out? If a nude woman or man came in before your children, drunk, sloppy, would you get them out? How much more should that mess be taken out from around God's holy word? Some artist somewhere with his crazy, filthy thoughts has drawn a picture, and for the sale of a book, somebody has printed the Bible and stuck that mess in there to pollute the minds. The devil doing that to make money, and we don't have enough sense of reasoning to tear it out. Folks, woe unto them that give suck in that day. Woe unto them that can't differentiate between good and bad. And woe unto that man that calls good evil and evil bad and light darkness and darkness light. We need to understand. We need to see that all of these things that I read about tonight is about to come upon the church. And that it's a sad moment. It's a sad hour. things are happening everywhere. And people are getting more confused and more confused. It has come to a time when you can take a person over here and talk to them 20 minutes, turn them loose, let them go over here, talk to somebody else, and they're just as blind as a bat. All of the things that you told them and explained to them, they get over here somewhere and somebody brainwashes them, and they are in a mess and they can't even remember anything. It reminds me of somebody that said they took first aid. It was telling me the other day, said I took first aid, said I learned all about first aid. And said, here I went down the road with the captain of the colonel, whatever, and over here, while I was riding along, here's a car. Something happened, a wreck. All of a sudden, I jumped out to remember I didn't know nothing about first aid. Said I couldn't hardly remember nothing but maybe how to stop the blood. That's the way a lot of people are. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't give the more earnest heed to the things that they've heard, and so they just let them slip. And when they need them, they don't have them. And another thing is they don't take heed how that they hear it. See, they're so busy in their minds reasoning, so busy in their minds criticizing, so busy in their minds running to and fro in the world, wanting to be out in the frolic, so busy in their minds. The devil's got some of them filled with fear, frustration, anxiety. Some of them's got their jobs on their minds. Some of them's got lust on their minds. Some of them's got filth on their minds. They're so busy in their minds until they never give heed in such a way to know what you said or how that you said it. That is the bad situation, folks. If a man is standing here and he's trying to tell you that if you go over that hill, you're going to run into the river because the bridge is out, and you just half-heartedly listen at him, and you're in a hurry to get to where you're going, and there you are, you say, yeah, I got it, okay, and you speed off, and you say, now what did he say? Bridge, hill, over the hill, bridge. Well, I don't know. Off in the creek you go. See, what you need to do is get it all together, as the world says. Somebody said, get your act together. Maybe that's the world terminology. See, so then you need to do something. Like Rick was telling me the other day, that thing that was stolen over yonder in Houston. Brother Taylor can't get his money. The man back over in Houston somewhere, there the insurance company called up here, told this other insurance company up here, said, you need to get your act together up there. See, that's what the world says. That's the way they see it. Folks, we need to get our heads straightened out, they said, or we need to get our act together. What we need to do is to get in contact with God, Jesus Christ, which is our head, and He'll straighten our act out. And we'll quit acting and start living like we ought to live. So then, the things that we need to do is get our act straightened out. That is like the acts of the apostles, and we need to begin to act like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear more clearly. We need to think more clearly. And we need to take heed to the things that we've heard, and we need to take heed how that we've heard those things. And when we leave the sanctuary, or when we leave some other place, what we ought to be able to do is to know what the preacher said and why he said it. Else it will not do us any good at all. If we paid as much attention to the preacher and looked at him and paid as much attention in concentrating as you do when you're eating a steak and drinking a milkshake, you'd be all right. I can see some of you eating steak and drinking shakes and whatever, and you can't hardly get your attention for eating and drinking. You got your mind and your eyes right on it. But God can offer you eternal life, and you're looking over yonder and talking to the baby, and you're doing every kind of way, and your mind is just in the wilderness. Brethren, we'll never get to heaven like that. Never be a day to where you'll find eternal life like that. A lot of people say, well, this thing, eternal life, God has just poured it out in great abundance and is just running over like honey out of a jar.
It's just everywhere. Just get your dip, run on by and eat it and have a good time, and later on you run and get you another dip. I admit one thing. Like Joseph said, there's been a lot of good times. There's been a lot of harvest. There's been a lot that has come our way. But brethren, there's going to be a famine. There's going to be a famine when you can't run by and get that grace. There's going to be a time when you can't just shake that thought out like you used to shake it out. There's going to be a time when that dreadful feeling comes over you and that oppression comes over you that you ain't going to be able just to pray it off and say, Lord, help me, run off and you're going to feel all right. It's going to be interwoven with your brain and with your mind and with your spirit. It's going to be interwoven with your nerves in such a way. It's going to hold you till you go to the insane asylum. It's going to hold you till you blow your brains out. It's going to hold you till you get on the steering wheel and run off a bridge somewhere trying to get some peace. Like I heard somebody say that was out to camp somewhere. Some leeches got on them. You pull the leech off, you pull the skin. And they said in this particular instance, a leech got on and they had to cut the flesh out to get the leech off. So then you get some devils, you can't just shake them off. You can't just pick them off like fleas. But they get interwoven with you. And you just can't get loose from them, and they hound your mind night and day. Everywhere you go, they're talking to your mind, talking to your mind, talking to your mind. I tell you, it's a bad situation when something gets a hold of a mother's mind and it begins to talk and it gets a hold of her daddy's mind and says, kill him, kill him, kill him. You can't help but kill him, kill him. Take that knife, rip that baby's throat, kill him, kill him. Somebody say, oh, you crazy, Brother Pike. No, I'm not crazy. I'm telling you, you are going to experience some things like you never experienced in your life. And you're not going to be able to do anything with it. Somebody say, oh, I got plenty of sins. I wouldn't do nothing like that. A lot of folks have said that. Like daddies have walked in and grabbed their babies with the feet and dashed their brains out against the wall. And they get them down to the court. And they say, man, why did you do such a thing? They say, I don't know. I don't know. I can't understand why I've done such a horrible thing. Take them and stick them in the tub and turn on the hot water and scald the life out. What happens to people like that? Demons become interwoven with those people. And they possess those people's spirit and they possess those people's mind. You know why that those demons do that? Because you don't have a love for the truth. You'd rather eat, drink, run up and down the road, find fault with the preacher, say things, gossip, criticize the church until God gets tired of it and God backs away and the devils and the demons come in like maggots working on a dead dog. And the first news you know, they've got you and you can't get loose from them. Some of you are going to experience that. Watch and see. You think that you are not going to do it. You think it isn't going to be like that. You think Brother Pike don't know what he's talking about. But as sure as your breath is in your nostrils, it's going to come your way. I've met people like that. I've talked to people like that. I've seen people like that. They couldn't get loose to save their lives. And yet they were sober, sound, sensible people. Had good mind, better than some of you got. But when those things struck, they couldn't do nothing about it. Lust. What causes a person to lust? What caused David to commit the evil that he did? The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart, not having the Holy Ghost. Yet he had the right attitude, but not having the Holy Ghost to restrain him, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. What happened to him to cause him to do the lewd, evil thing he did? Somebody would say, well, what did he do? He murdered a man. A king that had everything. David didn't have to want for nothing. But he murdered a man. It got on his mind, kill him. Kill him. Kill him and take his wife. And so he did. He paid for it all the days of his life. But he obeyed that thing. Somebody would say, oh, Brother Pike, you don't think that was a demon? Well, that's what the prophet said. When the prophet came by and he spoke to David, he said, David, I got somewhat to say to you. He said, say on. He said, such and such and such and such. He said, and there was a stranger that came by. Now the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. A stranger is a devil, a demon. He said there was a stranger that came by. The man, or the stranger as he referred to him, said the stranger was hungry and said he came by the place of a great rich man. And the great rich man had plenty of herd and could have fixed a meal for him. But said there was another man, David, that had just one little lamb. And said, David, said this great rich man took that one little lamb that he loved and had held in his arms, that was precious to him and his family. Said this great rich man that had all of the exceeding great herds went over there and took that one little lamb and took that to slay it, to prepare a meal for the stranger. Said, David, what do you suggest that be done to such a wretched one? Not using altogether the terms I did. David said, and he pronounced the judgment right down the line, right to the hardest, strictest way of judgment without mercy. When he finished, he said, David, thou art the man. A stranger came by. You had many wives, David. God would give you many wives. If you wanted more, he gave you more. But when the spirit of lust came by, David, instead of satisfying your body with that which was yours, you committed murder and stole a man's wife. David, thou art the man. You fed a devil, David. You let a devil take your body and you fed the appetite and satisfied the appetite of a devil. Why did you do that, David? You know what? David should have been out to battle. Did you know it was time for kings to go out to battle? David should have been out doing something for God, but he wasn't doing anything for God. David did not have his mind on God to the extent that he had a vision for Christ. That's what's wrong with you right now. You don't have any vision for God. And the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. You need your minds occupied with the things of God. You need to create a vision. You need to stir up your mind. You need to quit being idle and just going around from place to place. Because the air is full of devils. Satan is the prince of the powers that's in the air. He's the ruler over those powers. And those devils and demons are working everywhere. And they're looking for a mind to go into. They're looking for a body to possess. Mary Magdalene, 7 devils got into her. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, they could never get me. Why can't they get you? Somebody would say, well, I'm a Christian. All right, let's look at it and see. You might be a believer. Can they get you? Yes. You might be sanctified, cleaned up. Can they get you? Yes. The Bible said, and they'll come and find the house clean. They'll find it swept. They'll find it garnished. And then if that devil can't get in, the Bible says, he'll go get 7 other devils more wretched than himself. They'll join forces and they'll unionize in their effort and they'll come back and they will force their way into your body and into your heart. And the Bible said the last stages of that man will be worse than the first. 7 devils. What will they do? They'll make you curse and snort and cheat, lust, fight. They'll have you in prison. They'll have you in the electric chair. They'll have you so far in debt from your lust and covetous of buying and buying and not being able to pay until you're driven like a wild horse. They'll have you in such a state of mind to where you're about to go crazy. You can't get your thoughts slowed down. You can't get your mind cleaned up. They'll get you so lazy till you sit and eat until you pop open like a balloon. Those devils of gluttony, because you don't have any vision, will cause you to be so nervous that you'll just sit and eat and drink till you just bust open. Rot. I heard of one to where he eat until he fell through the floor when he sat down in the chair. The whole floor broke off him under him. devils of gluttony, devils of lust. They'll have you to where you marry so many times until it's unbelievable. I wished I could remember the times, how many times some man married, Brother was telling me about the other day. I can't remember how many it was. I don't know where it was, 100 or 300 or what. But I can't remember. It was fantastic how many wives he had had. You know what it was? It was a devil, an adulterous, a sinful generation that eats and drinks, and that's all they want to do. They don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. They don't want to study. They can't come to church and sit still because they got so many groans, so many grunts, and so many moans because they eat so much and drink so much. Their stomachs are so full of acid till they can't breathe. And they got the heart burned and their nerves is wrecked all through. They can't sit still. They're literally eating and drinking themselves to death. Why are they doing that? The Bible said, let their table become a snare to them. Their table has become a snare to them. It is the days of the serpent, that old devil that's on his belly. All of his labor is for his belly because his belly craves it of him. And his belly's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. What a horrible situation, folks. Can human beings get into that kind of condition? I'm afraid so. Devils, it is the time of demons and devils. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the way I feel, you know, I want to go to heaven. I'm sure you do. The devil does too, and every other demon that I know of would like to go to heaven. I'm sure you do. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I would like to be a good person. I'm not too sure about that. Because whatever you would like to do, you've got a chance to do it. You've got a chance to do it. If you want to do right, you can do right. There's no reason for you to do wrong. Can you tell me any reason why you should gossip? I can tell you why you gossip. Because you don't love the Word of God and you don't love the truth, and God's turning you over to reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. You can't hold your tongue back because the Bible said God will send you strong delusions and cause you to believe a lie and be damned. You can't quit gossiping and backbiting. Because you've got God upset at you, you wouldn't listen to the truth. You don't love the truth, you won't make no effort. So God has let a devil of gossip get hold of you. That's all that you can do. No matter how much you promise yourself you'll do otherwise, you always wind up with your gossiping tongue. A devil has got a hold of you. Why do you do that? Because the Bible says, Lord, I pray, lead me not into temptation. It is because God is leading you into temptation. It is because God abhors you. The Bible says that the whore is a deep ditch. They that are abhorred to the Lord shall fall therein. It is because you are in your mind a gossiper. You are in your mind a fault finder. You are in your mind covetous. You are in your mind unclean. Therefore, God is leading you to your destruction. For the sooner God can get rid of you, the better God will feel and the better off humanity will be. That's where you're at, folks. The end of the world is here. We've come down to the last day. Some of you women, you just can't stand to dress like a lady. You just can't stand to do it. You try to keep your husbands tore up so that he won't stay with the brotherhood, so that you won't have to dress like a lady. You've got a devil of lust, and it's driving you like a wild animal, and you just can't be a lady. So you torment your husband, and you backbite and tear down the sisters so that you can make it look bad when you're the devil, not them. Jesus said to Peter, Satan, get behind me. You're the devil. He said, I chose 12 of you and one of you's a devil. When you can't act like a lady and dress like a lady, you're the devil. You men, you just can't do right. There's no way. Your wife would like to do right. She would love to live for God. She would love to do the right thing, but not you. You're so afraid you'll have to give a dollar to the work of the Lord. You're so afraid that you'll have to leave off with your frolics out yonder. You're so afraid that you'll have to withdraw from the women and start talking to the men for a change. You're so afraid that you can't go on with your frivolous way of life and have your temper and do the things you want to do. And so then you keep your wife tore up all the time so that you can find fault and blame the brethren. But it's not the brethren. You're the devil. You're the one that's causing it. It's your evil, ungodly mind and attitude. There's nothing wrong with the brethren. There's nothing wrong with the church. There's nothing wrong with the people of God. The Bible said you can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. There's nothing wrong with them. You're the devil. You're the one that's giving place to him. You're the fault finder. You're the one that's causing the problem. You get the devil out of your life. You clean your windows. You get a good window washing job and have a good spring cleaning. You get your mind cleaned up. And then you'll see some of the most beautiful people that you ever saw in your life. You'll see some of the most lovely people that you ever saw in your life. What kind of people will you see? The Bible calls them the elect lady. Did you know that the church is a lady? There's not very many ladies in the world today, but the church is a lady. She is called God's elect lady. And no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect lady. She is without spot. She is without wrinkle. The Bible said she hath kept herself. She's God's bride. She's made herself ready. And the Bible said she's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And that she's kept herself. And the evil one hath touched her not. Someone will say, well, that ain't the one I'm thinking about. The one you're thinking about is another devil like yourself, if that isn't the case with him. You say, well, that's the one I'm finding fault with. Well, how can a devil find fault with a devil? Even Jesus testified, if a house be divided, it can't stand. He said, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, the kingdom of the devil would be divided if I was of the devil and his kingdom couldn't stand. Why are you finding fault with the devil? You're supposed to be buddies. Two of you are supposed to be agreed. No, what it is your corrupt mind. It is your evil way of doing. These things I read tonight, not getting into any revelational thing that I know of here tonight, but these things I read tonight are determined to read them so that you could have an understanding of the horror. Once and for all, you'll be branded as he is. And you'll have the mark of the beast, and God will do you like Cain. The Bible said he set a mark upon Cain so all would recognize him. And you're going to keep on till God's going to put a mark on you to where you can't run back to the church anymore. And then you're going to belong to the devil, and that's going to settle it, and you won't have to worry the people of God no more. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I say that so often. To really be a genuine child of the living God. To live holy, to be concerned. One of the most miserable people in the world is a religious person. A person that's trying to stay in church when their heart and desire is out yonder in the world. I wouldn't be like that. Brother, let me tell you something. If I had the world in my heart, if it was in my heart to love the things of the world, I would go out and I would eat with the pigs and I would slop with the pigs and I wouldn't stop till I got me a bellyful. That's good old-fashioned country talk. That's the way the pigs eat when I fed them as a boy. They didn't stop till they got their bellies full. But if I'm going to be a Christian and have the love of God, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and criticize the church and criticize the people and find fault and say, well, that's why I can't come to church. That's why I can't be part of them. I'm not going to blow up and have a temper And every time somebody looks at me, go all to pieces and say, well, it's because of old brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. You know that you are a hypocrite. Jesus said, you hypocrite. Why do you do that? The thing to do, folks, is to do right. To do right. That's the way to do it. If you do right, you'll be right. For the child is known by his doings. If you do wrong, then you are wrong. For the child is known by his doings. All right, this is good for Christians. All the rest, you just come to be with me. But all you Christians, this is real good for you. This will really be a blessing to you. All the rest, it won't do you any good whatsoever. It'll just be a testimony against you in the day of the judgment. That's all you're here for anyway. So God can let me witness against you, and that you might hear it, that when you might stand in the judgment, God can say, I told you, but you didn't care. You didn't listen. It made no difference. All right, let's stand together. You know something, folks? Some of you need a backbone. Some of you really need a backbone in Christ. When people can come into your home, come into your presence, or whatever, and just literally tear down, criticize, backbite, in a continuation and devour, and you won't say anything to them, you ought to not even name the name of Jesus. You don't have enough backbone to even classify yourself with the sons of God. When you see the wicked whip their tongue to shoot at the upright in heart, and you don't have enough backbone to say something about it, you need to be born again. If you've got nothing but a dirty mind as a man, I heard one of the younger fellows here the other day, he just couldn't get something off of his mind. He just kept on and kept on going through the hog pens and through the field. And every time I got around him, he started talking about the same old thing. And the things he was saying were so degraded that it degraded his wife and made me ashamed in his presence. You ought to at least have enough respect for self and for wife that you don't go around talking about filthy things and degrading your own companion. You ought to at least have that much manhood. Talk about something godly, something holy. If you're going to talk to me, talk about something pure. I don't want to hear your filth. I don't want to hear your filthy dreams. And I don't want to hear your filthy conversation. And I don't want a filthy presence around me. I want you to talk about Jesus or something clean or something holy or something godly. And I want you to have respect for me and my wife. And if you take me into your thoughts, or my wife or children into your thoughts, I want you to think holy and godly, or keep me and my family out of your dirty, filthy thoughts. If I'm going to think of you and your wife and your children, if I'm going to think of your church, if you are a minister, if I'm going to think of you as a people, I'm going to think of you clean and holy. Else I'm not going to think of you at all. The Bible said, if anything be lovely, pure, virtuous, holy, think on these. Some of the people have taken the serpent seed message, and they have absolutely made a cesspool of iniquity out of it. And they've gotten so filthy that I don't even like to get around them. Every time you get near them, their mind goes down into the snake hole, and they start talking about the filth. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Folks, we're godly people. And the Bible said them things that are done in secret, don't let it be named one time among you. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Not one time among you. Don't let it be named as becometh saints. Let your conversation be in heaven. Anything you wouldn't want to think in heaven, don't be thinking it. Let's sing this little chorus together, folks. Holiness, fruits unto holiness, the end thereof, everlasting life.
Just a little milk of the word tonight for the babes. Let's sing the little chorus we sang this morning, I love him. Can we do that? Oh, I love him. I love him. All because you first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it with me again, can you? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All because that you first loved me. And you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Jesus tonight? What a wonderful thought to be like Jesus. Do you spend every day trying to be like Jesus? Do you spend every day hungering and thirsting after the things of Jesus? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all day long all you could think about was something that you could learn about Jesus? Wouldn't that be wonderful if all day long all you could think about is how that you could grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Just think, folks, when God comes back to gather his jewels, think what a man is going to look like in the sight of God and how he's going to register in the mind of God. When God looks down and sees that individual that all he's ever done in his lifetime is just want to think on Jesus and meditate in his laws day and night and want to grow in the grace and not think of how God would think of him. That angel that I preached about this morning, he said, Daniel, oh, beloved band of God. He said, Daniel, thou art greatly beloved, Daniel. My, wouldn't I like to have God say that to me? Wouldn't I like to hear Jesus say that? Wouldn't I like to hear the testimony that Jesus gave concerning John? Somebody said, John's a prophet. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus said. A prophet? Oh, he's more than a prophet. John, you mean you talk about John being a prophet? Oh, he's more than a prophet. Isn't that wonderful? Said, this is him whom I told you about. This is that great one that I send before my face. Somebody said, Brother Pike, he didn't say the great one. But the Bible says when the angel spoke concerning the birth of John, said, and he shall be great in the sight of God. Wouldn't you like for God to speak of you like he did Moses? When Aaron and Miriam was all crumbling, complaining, God said, Miriam, Aaron, I want to talk with you. My, what does God want? I want to talk with you about my man Moses. I said, wasn't you afraid to be talking like you was talking? Miriam, the things that you were saying wasn't pleasing to me at all. And the things Aaron was saying wasn't pleasing to me at all. I said, wasn't you discussing my man Moses? Well, I'm a prophetess. I play the timbrel. Well, I'm the high priest. I go in and out the sanctuary. Now, God, in so many words, said, that's beside the point. I want to ask you a question. Wasn't you talking about my man Moses? He said, let me tell you something. He said, there's not a man like him in all of the earth. He's faithful in all of my house. He said, I'm going to teach you a lesson, Miriam. When you shake this leprosy off from then on, you're going to do a little thinking before you run your mouth. That was the essence. And you know what? She was Moses' sister too. Folks, even the family can't talk about somebody if they love Jesus. Did you know that? The Bible said a prophet's never without honor, save in his own country, among his own household. But just because he's without honor, so far as them acknowledging that he is a man of God, that doesn't mean he's without honor with God, to the extent that God will tear the hide up if they mess with that man, whether he's in his country or out of his country. He's still God's prophet. You may not honor him, but God honors him. Wouldn't you like to be like Gideon? And I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Oh, Gideon done got down to the last biscuit, as we say. Couldn't get nothing going. Didn't have no income. Out there gathering a few little things from the field to try to live. And all of a sudden, here comes the angel of God, and he stands off out there and he watches him. Then he speaks up and he says, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." You know, be like me. I looked around and I said, "What? Where? Who's that? Who's he talking about?" I'm sure Gideon must have felt the same way. Mighty man of valor, I can't even make my family a living. But see, he didn't see all of that. He didn't see the past. He didn't see the failures. He saw Gideon coming with the sword, crying, "The sword of the Lord in Gideon." He saw Gideon wading through that army. He saw them armies crumble in the front of Gideon. Before Gideon, he saw Gideon standing as a mighty man of valor, a victorian, a captain of the Lord of hosts. "Oh, thou mighty man of valor," he said. Wouldn't it be nice if the angels of God could say some good things about us? How would I like to hear God come and say, "Son, you got some good folks over at Bethlehem"? That would be so wonderful. That would be so wonderful. I want you to slip your hands up with me tonight. I want you to reach out and touch the Lord, as the song said. Reach out tonight and touch the Lord. I know it's hot and uncomfortable in here. I'm aware of it. I'm considerate of you. God's considerate of you. But folks, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. Be a little sacrificial, that you might have at least some treasure. I love you. God loves you. He's not forgetful of your labor in the Lord, your submission, your efforts. Reach out and touch the Lord tonight. Can you do that? Can you do that? It's camp meeting time, folks. It's just around the corner. Have you fasted and prayed any? Have you asked God to give you a vision, give you strength and a drive that you might be inspirational in this meeting this coming year? Have you invited anybody? Have you wrote anybody? Have you went out and invited anybody to compel them to come to the house of God that it might be filled up, folks? Have you done that? It's camp meeting time. The tent is fixing to go up. Have you prayed a prayer for it? Have you been concerned? Have you done anything? Have you made any effort toward the success of that meeting? You're going to be rewarded according to your labor. Have you been a hindrance to gossip, to reproach, to tear down? Have you? You're going to be rewarded for that too, according to the deeds done in the body. If you don't gather with me, Jesus said, then you're scattering abroad. If you're not saying things that help get the people in and help the people to think holy, then that means that you're saying things that help them think some other way and cause them to do some other way. If all you can talk about is the wrong things and the worldly things and the ungodly things and the things that pertain to everything but Christ, then you're scattering. Don't be a hippie and come in here from that old dirty, filthy life out there talking the way you did out there. Remember, you're with God's people and with saints. And you brethren, be bold and stop the mouth of them that's always talking about the passions and talking about something else. And you sisters, be bold and stop the mouth of them women that's always got their minds in the gutters that can't think of nothing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop the world, and especially in my offices. I don't want you sitting around in my offices talking about it. Talk about holy things, godly things, Jesus things. Or get yourself another place and resign from my offices. Let your conversation be holy and about God and be constructive. Get rid of your gossip or leave my offices, because I don't want your help. If you're going to talk to me, talk right. Reach out and touch the Lord tonight and ask Him to clean you up. There ain't never been a dirty, filthy generation like this on the earth. I mean, everybody is getting dirty and filthy. Even religious people, all of them, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostal, the Presbyterians, the Catholics, all of them are getting dirty and filthy in their minds. They want to talk about the birth, the birth, the birth, their wives and the birth. Always something dirty and filthy. Never want to talk about God in something constructive, in something holy. Never want cleanliness in their minds. Their mind is in the hog pens. Always dirty and filthy. Hippie-minded, Sodomly minded. The whole generation, Jesus said, adulterous and evil. Said, I'll burn them with fire. Folks, let's be clean people at Bethlehem. Stop the mouths of them that's always running their mouth about something like that. Talk about something godly and something holy. Talk about something pure. Let's think on Jesus. Let's think about something that's constructive. Let's be a good people and a godly people and a holy people. You women that have to come over to my wife's house, leave your dirty, filthy talk out of my wife's mind. Leave your dirty, filthy thoughts somewhere else. Don't bring it to my house. If you want to come and talk to my wife, talk to her about God or something holy and let her help you. Don't bring every old, dirty, filthy thing into my home. I don't want it. I detest it. I hate it. And you men, I say again, don't come and talk to me about those things. Bow your heads and close your eyes and have a little respect and reverence. Don't come and talk to me about those things. Let's love the Lord and be clean and be holy. Let's keep our minds godly. Let's take reproof and rebuke in the right way. Let's think of another man's wife as a precious thing and another man's daughter as a precious thing. And let's think of another woman's husband as a precious thing and another woman's son as a precious thing. Let's be godly. Let's be holy, folks. Let's unite together and do something for the cause of the Lord Jesus. Let's have a mind of love and holiness, fruits of holiness. Let's get rid of our complaints and fault finding, so the blessings of God will come and our children won't be killed with death. He said, I'll kill her children with death. Oh, let's pray that God won't kill our children with death. Pray that God won't smite the firstborn of your home. Let's ask God to help us. Love the truth and God will deliver you. Love the truth. Have a love for the truth. While you got your heads bowed and you're worshiping the Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask Brother John Jameson to come up and pray with you. Pray, folks. Search your hearts. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Prove yourselves, lest you be reprobate. Love the house of God. Respect the house of God. Reverence it. Get ready for camp meeting. Help me in the tent meetings. Help me do something for God. If you don't, God will give me somebody else. Jesus said, if you hold back the praises, the rocks will cry out. Help me do something for God. Don't let nobody take your crown, because he's going to put it over, folks. And if you don't help me, somebody else will. And they'll just take your crown. Don't let them do that. Hold fast.